Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, imagine with me our gospel reading this morning. The tomb rests on the southeast slope of the Mount of Olives. Its rough lintel and pillars buttress the tight-packed stones that climb a man's height upward. Inside, shelves and niches honeycomb the descending passageways. Faint Greek and Hebrew inscriptive lines litter the walls. Paeans to loss and suffered, misspelled words. Hopes stuttered out of a future resurrection. A long bundle rests on a shelf to the left of the first 11 downward steps. It's the newly dead, swaddled in his grave clothes. 4 days since the fever took him. 4 days of Adam's inheritance. 4 days of devilish laughter. You shall not surely die. Already the man's smell squirms through the myrrh-soaked linen. And already the workers have sealed the entrance with a carved block. In a year they will pull out the stone. The dead man's sisters will descend, stack his bones in a box, and place him on the niche, on the right, just to the right of the 11th step. And in the darkness, the dead man is alone in his death. The land of the living no longer calls to him. Already he fades into the unknown. Already the hired wailers outside see him as an anonymous soul, an opportunity for a pinch of silver, but unknown, unnamed. He has become one of the nameless, forgotten by all but family. But there too, as the years pass, he will fade from memory. Do you remember Uncle, starts with an L. Do you remember, what was his name? And so the symbol of the deepest reality of who the dead man is, the word that places him in the land of the living, his name, also fades into oblivion. Outside the tomb, the dead man's two sisters gather for a final farewell. And this morning, we too gather outside a tomb. Scripture teaches us that we are all born dead in trespasses and sin, all born heirs of death, all born into isolation from God and one another. We leave the womb for the tomb. And in a little over an hour, a little over 2 hours, little Serafina will be in that tomb. For she shares in the destiny of all of Adam's sons and daughters. Her swaddling blanket and baptismal gown are her grave clothes. Because of the primal disorder of this world, because of the human determination to run away from God, who is the source of life, she, as part of the human race, already lies in the tomb. And someday her name will be forgotten. And as we will gather at little Serafina's tomb, and as we prepare to gather there, you and I feel that same death in our skin. For someday our names will be forgotten. And maybe we even feel a little bit dead right now. Forgotten. Nameless. Alone in this world. Maybe the people around us in our lives feel like professional wailers, mourners, paid to care, but only seeing us as an anonymous soul, an opportunity for a pinch of silver. But there is someone who comes across the hills and valleys of Judea. He marches the crowded roads with strange purpose. The 12 tag along behind, unsure, unaware of his designs, muttering at his mysteries about death and faith. Bethany, Bethany, the house of suffering rises on the hill on the horizon. The wailers are out yodeling discomfort and sorrow. Some on the road between Jerusalem and Bethany recognize the group. Ah, it's Jesus of Nazareth and his pupils, the dead man's friends. And there is the dead man's sister, Martha, the mistress of the house. The faint scent of myrrh still lingers on her hands from dressing her brother's body. Her face twists and her words snap with bitterness. If you had been here, Jesus, my brother would not have died. But then the rush of tears, the trembling, hopeful lips. And yet, I know that whatever you do, whatever you might ask God, God will give it to you. And Jesus puts a hand on her shoulder. Your brother will rise again. I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Wasn't it scratched on the shelf above his body? A moment of silence. A breeze brushes past. And Jesus looks at Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never, ever die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Mashiach Adonai, the Son of God, the one who comes into the world. And at this, Martha runs and fetches her sister Mary, who, falling down before Jesus, repeats the tearful accusation. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And now Jesus, too, is weeping. Where have you placed him? And both sisters escort Jesus to the tomb. They flank the master on either side, lending their faith and their hope to the moment, to the situation. Jesus looks upward toward the twisting clouds. He offers an odd prayer of thanksgiving, a sacramental prayer. And then Jesus calls out a name. A name. A name that no one else has uttered. The name of the dead man. Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. And in this moment, the dead man is no longer anonymous. Someone knows his name. Someone addresses him from the land of the living. In the darkness of the tomb, Jesus' voice floods the passageways. Lazarus, come forth! And in this baptismal moment, Jesus moves Lazarus from the land of the dead to the land of the living, the kingdom of heaven. And the reborn man shakes off his grave clothes with help, and he steps out alive. Alive and called to live in faith and in holiness. And this morning, before that tomb at the back, Jesus calls out another name, Serafina's name. The godparents, in a few hours, will flank Jesus on either side, lending their faith and hope to this moment, to this situation. Name this child. Serafina Eliora Delap. You see, Jesus knows Serafina's name. Jesus calls Serafina's name. In the darkness of the tomb, Jesus' voice floods the passageways. Serafina, come forth! And in this baptismal moment, Jesus will move Serafina from the land of the dead to the land of the living, the kingdom of heaven. And the reborn babe will shake off her swaddled grave clothes and come out alive, alive and called to live in faith and in holiness. St. Paul writes, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. The death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." St. Paul tells us that in baptism, God takes us from death to life. All that is death in us, sin, evil, the crooked places in who we are, all of that gets thrown off. The Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we come forth alive in the deepest sense. Alive in Jesus to God and one another. Known by name. This is why in our offices of instruction and in our catechisms in the prayer book, it's all, "What is your Christian name?" First question. You are known. Your name is known. Jesus, the Son of God, knows your name. We are no longer isolated, nameless, forgotten people. For Jesus knows our names, and he calls our names in baptism. Jesus' call echoes down through the ages. His call thunders on that final day and wakes us in our literal tombs. Serafina, come forth! But maybe this morning, death's loneliness swirls within you. Maybe this morning you feel the weight of sin and the weight of death upon you, isolating you from God and others. Maybe you feel nameless, unseen, and unknown. Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. Jesus knows your name, and he calls your name. You are not unknown. You are not unloved. Someone from the land of the living calls you and has called you and will continue to call you out of death into life. Jesus knows your name. He knows my name. And he knows little Serafina's name. And he calls to us to live in faith and in holiness as we enter into the glory of new creation, the glory of God. Jesus knows your name. And that is good news. That is gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.